Today on Real Radio.
When Jesus says here, he's saying, listen, another, hear another. It's coming from the lips of Jesus, and he's telling them time is running out. Because that another means, how many of these must you hear? Wow!
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a parable taken from Matthew chapter 21. Jesus told a lot of parables, but this one stands out mainly because it's directed toward the religious leaders of that day. And we're talking about those who knew Scripture well enough to recognize that Jesus was indeed speaking from the Old Testament. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more on his series on the parable of the householder and his heir.
For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit. That's our motives. Between the joint and the marrow. Wow, the Bible dissects between our motives. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we will all give an account someday. The word of God will someday judge us, God's word. And Jesus is standing there in front of these guys. Think about that for a moment. The very word of God. And as we get into this study tonight, I want you to be thinking about how incredibly powerful the word of God is. You guys listen, the word of God. As I mentioned earlier, I spoke with pastors this week who caught the fire and they were renewed. It was as though these men were coming out of a coma. They had remembered how they got saved. They had remembered how they'd been schooled. They remembered witnessing. And just the love of Jesus sharing with people everywhere they found somebody. When they were young and in love and going after God, just because of his goodness, they would just tell people about Jesus. And then they got professionalized. And they got polished, some of them. And maybe they even had some success. I don't know, which is a very dangerous thing, by the way. Success in ministry is a dangerous thing. But somewhere, somehow along the line, they had forgotten. It's easy. Dr. Warren Wiersbe warns us as Christians that we can become so familiar with our Christianity, like these Pharisees and their religion, that we can begin to make common the holy things of God. There was a day when every one of us, beginning with me in this room, or maybe you're watching right now, you were on your way to hell, and I was leading the way. And God saved us. He rescued us. The danger about walking long with Jesus is that we often forget where we've come from. We need to be reminded that without the grace of God, we would be either religious and like these Pharisees, or even as a Christian, on our way to heaven, but we're not so thankful anymore because we have forgotten what we've been rescued from. A great peril, a great destruction God has saved us from. And I think this truth, I would hope anyway, this truth is in action every day when you and I stand and meditate and read and live and ask God, Lord, live out the Bible through our lives in reality. To be a real Christian in our culture, the only hope I have is that God's people would be touched by God's Spirit. And he'll use the Word of God, by the way. Those of you who are investing in the Bible in your own life, listen, you ought to be expecting God to do great things. God is investing in you the Word of God, the power of God. The Holy Spirit is under orders by Jesus Christ to use the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is looking for the Word of God inside of you. What do we study the Bible for? Because we want the Holy Spirit to come by, to pass by us and say, you, follow me. You, follow me. We want God to use us, and His criteria is this: I will use anyone who's open to my word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's the negative. The positive is, thy word have I hidden in my heart that out of the abundance of my heart my mouth might speak. My life might move. My feet might be employed in what God wants to do. And this is true for every Christian. There's no substitute for the power and for the word of God. And Jesus is that very word. And these religious leaders, who all the people naturally, put yourself in their sandals, they're looking at their leaders. These are their leaders. And I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. But think of a name in your mind, a spiritual leader, maybe nationally known or whatever, I don't know, but they're like famous leaders. They're famous people in the world, famous religious leaders. And imagine them standing in opposition to Jesus Christ. You'd be shocked, wouldn't you? Your jaw would be dropping. So wait a minute, what's going on here? And the demarcation, the line of division has been drawn in the sand. Jesus is saying, it's either the word of God or it's not. And he's speaking to them. Why did that carry so much power? What was going on? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, that was at the moment of physical creation, that's not eternity, when physics began, which we have heard, which we have seen, John says, with our eyes. He's talking about, watch, John is talking about looking at Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Imagine your ears hearing the voice of Jesus speak. Was it high pitched? Was it low pitched? Was it, how was it? Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Can you imagine? John, what do you mean? Well, I held Jesus' hand a few times. I shook his hand a few times. I hugged him. John could say, I hugged Jesus. In fact, John could say, you know what? One time we were having dinner, and we were listening to Jesus teach. It was so amazing. It was so awesome. And I remember getting so close to him, listening to him teach, that my head was on his chest. You know, the Bible records that. Can you imagine what was going on there when Jesus was speaking and John is there listening? Could he hear the voice of God in the room and the heartbeat of Almighty God? What was he listening to? John says, I've touched him. The word of God, Jesus. Listen, young people, we are not following some stupid made-up fable, some Ouija board horoscope video game here. God Almighty came in human skin. And John said, oh yeah, that's awesome. But I got to touch him. I heard him speak. I recognized that voice. Wow. I don't know how, but someday, listen, 1 second in eternity and you're going to be able to recognize Jesus' voice. 1 second. Before the crowd parts, before you can see him, you're going to hear a word and you're going to know, hey. You know, somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, how do I know when the Lord is speaking to me? Because when I hear God speak, I think in my mind, I hear my voice, but it's not me. Listen, I have really appreciated that honesty. They said, when I think I hear God speak, I hear my voice, but I know it's not me. And I got a big smile and I said, I know exactly what you mean. I said, how about this? You hear your voice in your head, yet the sentence structure, the information given, the way that it is said is not you. And you know it. And you, it's so weird. And they asked me, why do you think it's in my own voice? And I said, I can only tell you what I think, why I hear God in my voice, and yet the syntax, the sentence structure, the word usage, everything is not me. It is clearly God, because I think my voice is the voice that I want to listen to in my head. How would I ever recognize? I think if I heard, Jeff, this is the Lord, I would just I'd be walking along, I'd be talking to you, and God would speak, Jack, this is the Lord, I'm speaking to you. And I would probably go. No, but when I'm speaking, and when you and I are talking, and God speaks to you, maybe you're talking to your boss, maybe you're talking to your husband, your wife, your school teacher, maybe whatever, and God drops that string of thought into your mind, it's so awesome, because you know what? It doesn't shock you, you don't freak out, you have a normal look on your face, and this gem comes out of your mouth, and the person goes, oh my gosh, I never thought about that before. That is so awesome. And you're going, yeah, well, think about it. And then you walk away going, you ever had that happen? That's God speaking. 1 second in eternity, and you're going to recognize his voice. And Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders, and they were missing it. Scary, isn't it, that you can be talking to God in flesh and be missing what God is saying? This is a grave warning, I think, to all of us tonight. It's a grave warning to me that God could be speaking and I could be missing it. If it happened to them then, what about us now? In John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Jesus, who, being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of God, Jesus Christ, speaking, and they were missing what he was saying. Point number one tonight, we have five of them. We won't even probably get through the first point tonight. The parable of the householder and his heir. Look at this. Number one, the lordship of God is qualitative. Mark that down if you would, please. The lordship of God is a qualitative thing, meaning this. Look at verse 33. When Jesus is here, he's saying, listen, another, hear another. And as I said earlier, it's that sarcasm. It's holy. It's coming from the lips of Jesus. And he's telling them time is running out. Because that another means, how many of these must you hear? Wow. How many of these must you hear regarding these parables? And they get this one. They cannot deny it. Watch this. There was a certain landowner. Right at this moment, they're going, what? Who planted a vineyard. Boom, that got him right there. These were Jews. These were the leaders of Israel. And the moment Jesus mentioned a vineyard, their minds went immediately patriotic. So to speak, their hands went over their hearts. They stood up straight. Oh, yes, gotcha. We understand what you're saying, Jesus. There was a certain owner who planted a vineyard. This is Israel. And set a hedge about it. And dug a wine press in it. And built a tower. And leased it to vine dressers. The qualitative lordship of God. That, listen, church, God provides. God has initiated. God has given everything that you and I need to understand his lordship and its place over our lives. Now, granted, it's limitless, but what he's given us is qualitative. We understand that. His lordship. I am the Lord of heaven and earth. There is a landowner who has a vineyard. Immediately, the audience, the listeners got it. This one, Jesus, is speaking about the sovereignty of God, and he has established Israel throughout Old and New Testament. It's referenced as the vineyard. He speaks about it. We don't have the time to go into all of it, but some of the verses we will look at to build upon this because it's necessary. But the status concept of a vineyard in the ancient world, we need to understand this if we're going to get this parable. It was not hip, it was not vogue to have a vineyard. It's not like going up to Napa Valley where all these billionaires have their, you know, little pet projects and their vineyards. No, 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 no. People had their vineyards, no matter how small, no matter how large, 2,000 years ago, and it was not only representative of an influence or God's blessing in your life. The vineyard was a place of productivity. Your vineyard needed to flourish. Vineyards were supposed to be productive. Vineyards were supposed to be a source of employment for other people. There was a certain landowner who had a vineyard, and it speaks about productivity. It speaks about employment. People are working. It's hustling and bustling. And the product, the grapes, the raisins, the wine, everything that comes from it speaks about health in the ancient world. They don't think about it like you and I think about it today as some alcoholic binge issue. This was life to them. It was beautiful. You don't have to drive far from here to see beautiful vineyards. There's something beautiful about it. And it spoke of God's blessing. The environment, God providing. And posterity, it was left to your children and to your children's children. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard, and the Jews understood this, and the leadership, they understood that. You might want to write this down if you care to look at this deeper. Psalm 80, you can find out how Israel is spoken about as God's vineyard in Psalm 80. Ezekiel chapter 15, God speaks of Israel as being his vineyard. In Isaiah chapter 5, why don't you all turn to Isaiah chapter 5? If you don't know how to get there, I know there's a lot of new believers. Close your Bible all the way. Close your Bible. Part your Bible right in the middle. I turn to Isaiah 27 right here. If you close your Bible, it's kind of cool. If you don't know where to go, close your Bible, and then right down the middle, you'll either be in Isaiah or Psalms. I just turned to Psalm 27, so I'll move a little bit to the left, go to Isaiah, and go to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5, right in the middle of your Bible. By the way, how many books are there in the Bible? 66 books in the Bible. How many chapters are in the book of Isaiah? 66. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, has historical, has a gospel, has future events. The book of Isaiah is a mini version of the entire Bible. An outline. It's absolutely amazing. Anyway, that has nothing to do with tonight, but Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved or beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst of it. Sound familiar? These Pharisees and scribes knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Isaiah 5 would have popped into their head. If Jesus would have stopped talking, they could have finished what he was saying. And also made it a wine press in it. So he expected, you ought to circle that word expected, because it's true of you and me. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and O men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. Verse 4. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away. Now remember, as I read this, what the Pharisees' response was to Jesus. Do you remember what they said? They said, because in your parable, Jesus, those who blew it, he will take that vineyard away and give it to another. Remember that? How did they know that? Right here. It says in the middle of verse 5, I will take away its hedges, and it shall be burned, and break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of what? Israel, and they got it. Listen, church, these religious people who knew the Word of God could have finished the verse. They knew Jesus was quoting Isaiah 5. He's issuing them a warning, and they miss it. They should have known. And here's what's happening. This is why they didn't get it. And I need you to listen tonight. Honestly, I don't care if we go any further than just this right here, right now. You know why they missed it? For the same reason there are people going to hell right now tonight somewhere in the world. They could have all their religious knowledge. They could write theological treaties. They could quote the Bible. Because it's all because they would not accept the person of God come to earth in human flesh. The Savior. You cannot have a Savior without Jesus Christ coming in human flesh. You cannot have a Redeemer. You cannot have salvation, heaven, forgiveness, joy, peace, love. You can't have it unless you understand who Jesus is. They could fill in the blanks. They could answer all the questions on the questionnaire. They could get an A in a seminary. But they would not receive from the one who was speaking to them. It got very personal. Because our God is a personal God. And this is the issue. Do you know people who can talk up the Bible? Do you know people who can quote all kinds of verses? Do you know people who know this and know that and they're this way and that way? I don't care. The fun thing about getting old is the most important thing you can possess in life is that you know the Lord and the Lord knows you. Outside of that, you know what? All the stuff that we focused on when we were young about separating the theological Tweedledees from the Tweedledums evaporates. And it all comes down to, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. It gets sweeter as the time goes by. And the reality of eternity gets nearer and closer. And things get real simple, real quick. And it all comes down to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Does Jesus make your decisions for you? Does Jesus lead you in the way that you should move your foot next? Is Jesus consulted by you? Is Jesus the target for your life? The Lordship of Jesus Christ. They knew all the answers, but they refused that Jesus could be Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Householder and His Heir. It's a look at Matthew chapter 21 and verses 33 through 46. In fact, the parable of the householder and his heir is part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, it's Monday, and as we remind you just about every Monday, you can catch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. .org. Now, often the program is Pastor Jack and a guest or two engaging in some informative discussions and interviews, centered, of course, around the Judeo-Christian worldview. They look at topics like scripture, evangelism, apologetics, faith and politics, marriage and family, accurate views of history, and a whole lot more. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. We hope you'll watch it. And, of course, you can browse the categories for yourself and see archived programs. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And, of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's connected to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. realradio.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.